roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside our beautiful home in Mountain's Edge, Las Vegas, it's the MMA Junkie Radio Show. The only show that matters, and I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goz, sporting a new haircut. What's up, Goz?
Not much. How about you? Same old, right?
Same old, yeah. And, you know, I think everyone's in the same boat.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody, I don't know how many people are getting used to it, but yeah, there's not much that you can really talk about. That is, if you're following the rules. Mm-hmm. You get out of the house here and there to do a couple things, but other than that, nobody's talking about any great movies they saw at the movie theater or anything like that.
In fact, on the way out yesterday, our visitor, we were talking about, okay, let's just say they go, you know what, everyone, the hell with it. Leave your house, go work, do whatever. So you have the permission and, you know, the governor, the president, the mayor, no one's holding you back. It's not like everyone's racing back to what you said, like the movies or the sports book, the casino. I mean, and if you do, it's just not going to be the same. We're going to have masks on, or some of us. You're going to be looking around. You know, you see your old buddy. Let's say he says, I'll meet you there. You ain't shaking his hand. You're not giving him a hug. Think about all the things like we kind of just do. Mm-hmm. You know, where you just go, what are you drinking? Hey, try this. You know, and you just give it to someone.
Yeah.
You know, try it. And some might just not sip out of your straw, but drink, from the side of the glass, or let me see that.
That's, you know, even with family.
You see your new phone, and you hand them your phone, and they kind of like twirl it and go, oh, wow, you can do this, you can do that, I might get the latest, all right, cool, and hand it back to you. Yeah, and like you said, that'll even be with family. It's going to be really bizarre. So mm-hmm. I was thinking about this in the shower. I was thinking, what if the president just said, everyone stay the fuck home. Let's just say 7 days. 14's tough. But let's just say 7. And he goes, and I mean everyone. We're going to have the military stationed on all the major cross streets along with the cops. And they're all going to watch. And if you even tiptoe out there to walk your dog or whatever, you're getting this $500 fine, we'll say, right? But in 1 week, goes, could the virus just die? Like,
maybe a little bit more, I guess technically.
Nobody to touch each other or, you know, brush each other. And I'm talking about McDonald's. I'm talking about
everything.
Everything, yeah. I mean, only the cop stations.
But you'd have to do it nationwide.
And I guess the hospitals, they finish out. Yeah, exactly. Nationwide. And people could tattle on each other and rat on each other. And you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But 1 week. And then would the virus just die? And then what we still do is, we still kind of have to close our borders, like those flights that are incoming. Hey, man, you can come to the United States, but where are you staying for the first week, you know, while we quarantine your ass? I think a silly shit while I'm showering. All right, folks, look, we're going to cover some of the latest news, and there's some interesting tidbits out there. I'm not going to lie to you and say, oh, wow, wait till you hear this. But no, there's some interesting little stories that have been put up that kind of all tie into, like, some major subplots. So we'll cover all that. We'll tell you about our experience calling fights this past weekend. And then there's also one non-MMA topic that I want to touch on that was really, really something that I look forward to that I caught yesterday on ESPN. So buckle up, folks. Here we go. It's the MMA Junkie Radio Show on a Monday, April 20th. What's up, Junkie Nation? Check us out on Wednesdays for the month of April as we will be on Sportscaster, www.sportscaster.com. Check us out at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, and we're going to give you an extra MMA Junkie Radio Show. Myself, Goz, and Max. All right, Goz. So right now it's just past 6 in the morning, lifting the curtain here, Pacific time zone. But somewhere out there in the world, it's already 4:20. 4:20 on 4:20, so blaze up, potheads. Have fun. Let's see, here goes. Basically, we'll jump around a little bit, but you know, we normally lead off with the UFC. The UFC's targeting May 9th as a date to have fights. That actually broke last week, a few hours after we did not only the spinning back click, but we did our Monday show. Now, we talked a little bit about it on Thursday, but one thing that's been stated out of the many interviews that we do or the chats that we do is Bellator's probably going to follow suit, right?
I would imagine they would.
PFL is going
to... I think everybody will just follow the UFC.
Yeah. Well, it was an interesting article that I read with Nolan King, and he kind of reached out to some of the regional promotions. And it was really interesting to see the first two that I read. One of them was Jesse Finney, who used to fight, and he owns Shamrock FC. And he says he's done 328 shows over 20 years, had to cancel one and postpone two, but they've always been consistency. That's never happened. But here's what he said. He said, this isn't a Shamrock FC problem. This was a global problem. My kids are 8 and 6. This is about safety. God forbid I would give it to my kids, or someone would get it and give it to their grandparents. It's not moral along those lines. It was refreshing, goes, to hear that. So it wasn't like a guy, he's only done 2 shows, don't pay attention to him. Kind of a guy that we've heard about before, mm-hmm, through fighting. But on the promoting side, him saying something very adult.
Yeah, I mean, you have to remember that Bellator, PFL, they have deals where the majority of their money comes from being on TV. So they can have shows with no fans and still be able to operate. But these type of organizations, the fans are what puts money in everybody's pockets. You know, people selling tickets, they don't have the major TV contract that's going to give them money. So no fans, no shows.
Yeah. Here's the next guy. Matt Frendo, excuse me. A promoter for Rising Promotion Lights Out Championship. He said he thought he had seen it all in MMA from a business perspective. But he says he leads off with, he believes fighters have much more to lose than promoters. That puts the promoter, who holds all the power, in the tricky position when making a decision based on health and safety. Now, as I was reading that, I was like, oh, okay, you're guiding us towards the money thing. Because really, this whole thing about the pandemic we're going in, half the country wants to return back to work, and the other ones are like, no, I'm thinking safety.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the split, you know, and I thought, But I jumped to the conclusion too quick. He continues, dealing with MMA, I'm pretty much prepared for anything in life now because of the ever-changing business of MMA. Things are getting changed, last-minute dropouts, hours before the show, the board breaks in your cage. I've dealt with everything possible in the sport, but never something like this. It comes down to being told, I can't do a show. Even if we were told right now we could do a show, you have to look at the morality at this point. Is it even smart to do a show with what's going on? Thankfully for me, I'm not in a position where I'd never put profit over fighters, fans, and staff. I learned a lesson here, goes, because if I would have just been a lazy MMA fan and I only read part of the article, right away I would have judged that guy.
Mm-hmm. You know?
But he comes back with some really, really nice quotes. Great job by Nolan King. There's more in that story, but interesting to see how, on a smaller scale, they're thinking the same stuff as the UFC, but just on a smaller scale, and they don't have those big decisions to make, that $750 million bonus that ESPN could give the UFC for handing over 42 events per year. You know, they've only done 7. They got 35 to go. Fight islands. They don't have the resources to create a fight island. You know, where they might even create a UFC PI. It's a trip, man, to see that.
Yeah, what do they do in the meantime? I mean, it's not like they have these... they still have staffs, a lot of these organizations. Mm-hmm. They're not as big as what you would think. You know, sometimes there are 5-6 people, but still 5 or 6 people that need to get paid. So it's rough times because you can't even tell, like... We know that fights are going to come back soon, but we don't know when crowds are going to come back. We have no idea about that.
Exactly. Like, you're right. He could, whatever state he's in, the commission could go, have at it. You know, the governor could go, yeah, We can gather up to 500. So go ahead and throw a show at 500, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, are 500 going to show up? Are you going to have to lower your tickets from 40 to 20 or from 100 to 550 for ringside or whatever it is?
Which makes fight purses smaller.
Yeah.
And if you don't have these type of fights, then how do organizations like Bellator and UFC find the next crop of talent?
But what if UFC and Bellator come back and realize they just can't keep them busy and the cuts come? And when those cuts come, those fighters then go down to some of the other leagues. And could we get...
But how do you pay them?
I know. Such a wacky sport. Now, look at this. Here's another story, again, tied into the pandemic. Did you know, Goes, that Zhang Weili, who fought at UFC 248 on March 7th or 8th, I think it was the 8th, you know she's just going home now? She's just getting to China now?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
She didn't fight on April 8th. Very crazy. She fought on March 8th, so almost 6 weeks here in Las Vegas. And it's not like you can go, hey, man, did you have fun afterwards? You were in Vegas. Did you party? Did they hook you up with the suite at the Venetian or at Mandalay Bay? Or what did you do? No. The whole strip was shut down. Like, unless she's an avid fan of hiking, and I heard Lake Mead is closed, that must have sucked for Zhang Weili, because it was an epic fight, and you think you just want to be with the ones you love. I mean, these last 6 weeks should have been like a parade, a key to the city, you know, things like that back in China, wherever, you know, her hometown is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so sad. She's just been here. I mean, if you follow her on Instagram, you can kind of see where she's been going. She had a couple days at Extreme Couture, but really there is nothing. I mean, it was a jail sentence after her fight, basically.
Yeah. She's home, though, folks, and the thing is, this is where Fight Island might come into play, because if it was that difficult to get out, and as contentious as U.S. and China relations are, who knows how easy it'll be to get back in. Remember, coming in from China for this fight, she had to leave China just because they were shutting it all down. In fact, when she goes back, God bless her, like, when she left, it was like, we're shutting everything down, and then when she's coming back, we're opening things up, like... In a way, she kind of missed all that, which means she basically wasn't you and I back home. She was you and I, but basically if you and I had been stuck somewhere else.
She's actually going through everything in the reverse. So right now, you know, we had to shut China from coming here.
Mm-hmm.
And now it could be the reverse, where her going home, they might be like, wait a minute, you're coming back from the U.S. where things aren't going too well. Like, yeah. So yeah, it's been a little bit of the reverse for her.
And even if she goes, hey man, my hands, my feet, my leg, I'm healthy, I'm ready to go. All right. Well, remember last time the route was Thailand, Abu Dhabi, then the United States. And I don't know how, you know, why or at what point we were, but it got a little tricky for her. And remember Leon Edwards I don't think Leon Edwards is going to be able to come to the United States. Or he chose to pull out because I think he needed to get paperwork to come to the United States. So I don't know officially where we are and when what bans came after that. But my point is that Fight Island might be what bails the UFC out from having to deal with that type of paperwork. So she's home, folks. All right, here's another thing. Remember, I'm a detective. I'm putting clues together. Walt Harris did an interview with Nolan King. Look at Nolan. Kicking ass out there. Walt Harris had been scheduled to fight Alistair Overeem on three separate occasions, but I want to focus in on the one on April 11th. He was going to fight Alistair in Portland, I believe. They were going to headline that card. Didn't happen. In this interview, he says, I'm hearing May 16th as a possible date that we could fight. That means May 16th, there's going to be a fight. Goes, the first one, May 9th, is that stellar supercard. Mm-hmm. Do you think they're going to bounce back with another stellar supercard? Are they going to wait for the next... for that June 6th, which was supposed to be Perth, and just give us stellar supercards on days that were scheduled as pay-per-views. And then the other ones will just be like, you know, so-so cards. Or what do you think? How do you think that's going to play out?
I think it's going to be monster after monster. I really think
another three title fights?
Maybe not three title. Whatever you consider the first batch, which I think we got to give an A. This next one, I wouldn't expect anything below B.
Okay.
I think they're just trying to get fighters active, trying to get people back into that rhythm and just making things as they go.
Mm-hmm. And that won't be on Fight Island because he said, well, he did say about a week ago.
It could.
Fight Island didn't qualify for the 9th. He was pretty specific about that. So I guess the 16th could be Fight Island. I think Fight Island's going to be what was supposed to be Perth. But what do I know? In fact, what do they know? Here's another thing that I read. This one was, take a guess who wrote it, Nolan King, the show off. He had caught up with Ryan Benoit. And Ryan Benoit's going to fight Tyson Nam. There was actually, here's what happened. They were supposed to fight at Tachi Palace on that card that fell through. What I got from this fight is that, A, Benoit, who hasn't fought very frequently over the years, is just ready to go. But two, he says in the interview he was training for a bantamweight fight, and while he was training, he thought, I got to do this at flyweight, which is good to hear. I don't think he would throw that out as an option if we didn't continue to hear that the option's there for fighters to fight at flyweight. Mm-hmm. Because remember, when Joseph Benavidez and Davison Figueiredo fought, a lot of people said, man, I guess if you were ever going to do away with it, maybe this was it. We tried, but we couldn't because the guy that won couldn't be champ. What do we do? Of course, that's not where I sit. I really want it to stay. But, you know, everything that's been talked about recently has been anything but the flyweight division. So that was interesting to hear. I took that as a clue.
Yeah, I think it's a good clue. I think it's kind of strange that, especially in this time where you don't have access to very many things, would be the time to do that fight at flyweight. I think it'd be a little tougher on a fighter, but I mean, I've been around the dude. He is pretty small. He seems like he should be a flyweight.
Yeah, agreed. All right, finally we get something non-Nolan King related. I'm just busting his balls. He's hustling. John Morgan caught up with Frankie Edgar, and he's talking about facing possibly Aljamain Sterling. You know what I like about that matchup is you got a veteran versus I don't even want to say young contender because Aljamain's
he's not anymore. Yeah.
I liked Edgar versus Corey Sandhagen better, but now the pieces are starting to fill. Trust me, Edgar, who's with Ali Abdelaziz, who knows a lot about what's happening in the sport, you got to figure that's a strong possibility. And you know Sterling's already said, whatever's happening is happening. Cejudo's fighting. He's defending against Cruz. So that leaves Aldo out. Leave him for Fight Island. Sandhagen doesn't have an opponent, I don't believe. Is Marias and Peter Yan still on? They were going to fight in Kazakhstan. I don't think any fight's going to happen in Kazakhstan right now. But do you think they're preserving that fight? Like, would you have done anything with the reshuffle?
I actually think it's a little... Oh, man, I don't want to say a mistake. Would you have
done Yan versus Sterling?
No, I kind of like the way everything's played out. But Frankie Edgar, I have to imagine, if you're the UFC, that's one of those scenarios where you say, okay, if Aljamain beats Frankie, that's a big name, and we should be able to launch him relatively close to being next, right? But if he loses... A guy like Frankie Edgar, like, what do you do with somebody like that at this point? You know, there's not much you can do. You've given him so many title shots. I don't know if it's the smartest decision, but in a way, it kind of tells me what the UFC's thoughts are on Aljamain Sterling.
At least finally, it looks
they're like definitely not trying to protect him.
We'll get his debut at bantamweight. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, how long have fans been clamoring for that one? I couldn't believe to think back. He was the flyweight or the lightweight champion with title defenses. Not that I don't believe in his skills. I mean, he held his own. And then he goes to featherweight. And then when I see him in there against like Max Holloway, I was like, God damn, Max is huge. Frankie was just even smaller than we thought. But
that ain't I'm trying to protect you fight. That's as tough as it gets. Frank Edgar, no matter what point he is in his career, he's still a very difficult guy to fight.
The guy that loses, though, takes a real step back.
Oh, yeah. Big one.
You know, because that's a stacked division right there with a lot of possibilities. How about Diego Sanchez versus Damian Maya? Damian Maya says one more, and that's it. Do you like that matchup for him?
You know, we talked about this, I think, a little over a month ago. And it was a fight that kind of makes sense.
But now Damian's warm to it, yeah.
It's gonna be his last one. So, I honestly, what I find sad is I would have liked his last fight to probably be in Brazil. to have that moment, you know, where you put your gloves down and the fans go nuts and they all give you a standing ovation. And I imagine if you're Brazilian and you're in the back, whether he was your rival or not in your division, you probably walk up to a guy like that and shake his hand and thank him for everything that he did for mixed martial arts in Brazil.
That was kind of the plan. He got Gilbert Burns, but he got a killer in Gilbert Burns.
Yeah. So
they were in Brazil, and I don't know if they'll go to Brazil anytime soon.
I don't think
Although, do you know that I did hear that Fight Island or Fight Island 2 might be off the coast of Brazil.
I didn't hear that, no.
Yeah, and I was like, Fight Island 2, for crying out loud. We're trying to figure out where Fight Island 1 is. But if it is, and if it's governed by Brazil or something, is that good enough? Probably not, because in the scenario you painted right now, you're talking about Brazilian fans with their chants and their flags, and that's just not going to happen on an island. So I think at this point, I think Damian probably knows the textbook ending isn't going to happen the way I wanted it to in front of a crowd, like at least in 2020. He's 42 years old. If he wants to fight into his 43rd year, which has been done, Randy Couture won a heavyweight title at 43, then I guess he could wait. And maybe in 2021, we get back to a regular schedule.
But he's going to retire, and technically you could just delay that, put it off, you know, wait till things do get back to normal. But I mean, it's not like you're that excited to get back to normal life, right? I mean, there's not really much there. So I don't know. That moment is something that I think a lot of people think about. And to just have that go away like that would really suck. So really, if he has the money, it's not like we're used to seeing Damian Maia posting on social media, hey, it's me at Texas Day Brazil again, or anything like that. He seems pretty disciplined. I would wait.
He's had a lot of fights. He's had a lot of bonuses. I heard he's got a big academy in Sao Paulo, Brazil. He's got a journalism degree. He knows at least two languages. I don't know if I've ever heard him speak Spanish. And he speaks them well. Like, I just feel like he can do whatever he wants, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I really like the matchup. I think we actually threw it out there. I'm sure others thought of it too. But it was just great to hear him, like, actually being warm to it. All right. Speaking of retirement goes, guess who might really hang it up? And I think fans have wanted him to hang it up, either for different reasons or just, you know, he's reached the end of his physical peak. BJ Penn goes, did an Instagram live chat with his longtime coach, Jason Perillo. In there, he talks about fighting, or the question about whether you're going to fight again. He says, it takes a lot of work. It takes too much expletive work. At this time, it just takes too much expletive work. You never know what's going to happen, but it takes so much work. He continues, there's so much people telling me to fight again, other people telling me don't fight
again.
Who
are those people?
It's a lot to take in. I think it's a drunk Hawaiian who may see him stumbling out of a, or not BJ, but that guy stumbling out of a bar. And he's like, hey, it's BJ Penn. And sometimes when you don't collect your thoughts, and then, hey, can you do a selfie? Which in these days, I don't even know if you can, but I'm a big fan. Yeah, when are you going to fight again? Yeah, man, do it again. You know, like just one of those casual fans, like put him in a body bag. You know, like the guys that in the arena that, where you just turn around, you give them this look like, what the fuck are you saying? You know, like, they don't even know what jiu-jitsu is. They don't even know what's happening on the ground. They think they're humping. That's the type of guy that would say that. I don't think anyone in his close circle would tell him that.
But here's the deal. Okay, if it does happen again, where does it happen? Because it's obviously not going to happen in the UFC. So where does he go? Bellator? He's not going to do PFL. He's not going to do a season. And I doubt they'll do a one-off. So really, what are his options? We could go to Japan, maybe. He's fought there before.
That now you're looking at one championship, but I don't know. I was just about to say one
they
championship
seem
doesn't
pretty
strike
smart.
Me that, like they want to invest in a veteran like that. But guess who they invested in last year? Although he's yet to fight, Vitor Belfort.
Yeah, but
he doesn't have the outside the cage, outside the octagon problems that BJ does. But the age, the damage, the fall from grace.
They are very much about
lost a few fights
about discipline and martial arts, and right now BJ Penn is not expressing those types of things.
Bellator
or Ryzen, I think, are the only places I can see him fight.
Ryzen sounds really good. Yeah. So maybe just go there and get one of those briefcases full of money, and then check the fuck out. It's not as far of a flight for him that way. I mean, it's just as far of a flight for him that way, I think, than going east. And you want to fight, you want him to fight again? Is there anything in, if he's in a camp, his mind's focused, he's not getting in trouble? No.
No, I don't want to see it. There's not. There's nothing to gain. Whoever he beats, it's like, who cares?
Bag with $200,000?
Huh?
What about a bag with $200,000?
Would I want to see him fight then?
There's nothing to gain. What about a bag with $200,000?
For him personally, yeah. But, I mean, you would think he's okay financially.
Who knows? Yeah, I don't know. All right, two more things. Did you see that deal with Michael Jordan on ESPN?
I saw most of it. It's
a 10-part series.
Two parts aired last night, right?
Yeah, and then two more next week, and I guess, and so on.
Mm-hmm. It was really cool. It was a little confusing the way they started, where they started, but I mean, I can't tell if it's because there's not a lot going on, and this is just the best that we have, or if there were all kinds of sports going on, and we saw this, we'd still go, oh my God, it's amazing, but... I mean, documentaries, you have to come strong these days because there's a lot of great ones out there. So this one, so far, so good.
So check this out. Do you believe the UFC's done anything like on the level of 30 for 30 yet?
No, I do not. I don't. There's no. I think anything that has come close to that level, I think has come outside of the UFC.
Right. And so, yesterday, the UFC had published a article that included like an animation of, they were looking back on the history of Nick Diaz versus Joe Riggs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're promoting, I think, something called Fight Lore, a series, which I've yet to see in full. But the little bit that I did see looked like it could be fun. I remember that, and hopefully they got the footage from MMA Weekly Sound Off.
It's gone.
When both fighters called. I heard it could maybe be retrieved.
But that one actually could be on YouTube. I think that might actually be on YouTube, yeah. That was a great story.
It was a great story. However, longtime listener of the show, Joe from H-Town, he tweeted at the UFC, and I thought it was pretty interesting. I'm trying to look for it here. I just thought of it. Sorry. But basically, he said something to Dana White. And he said, hey, Dana, isn't it time with all that you have at your disposal, you know, the resources and all of the footage that you have, isn't it time for you guys to do something on the level of what's being done? And I'm sure some of his feelings came from knowing Jordan was going to air and the awesome 30 for 30s that have been done. Like, I mean, look at the series you always talk about on Vice with pro wrestling. But all the other sports they've just produced. Like, that should be 1 hour long. Now, the cartoon part doesn't bother me because I'm a silly guy and I like cartoons and animation. But just something where they really, really, like, just break down that fight, the hospital, or I don't know. Do you agree with him? Like, is the UFC Absolutely. Ready to do that?
Yeah, I mean, just... think about the early days of the UFC and everything that went into making certain events happen. I mean, there's been some that... What was the one where Big John McCarthy, where they all had to get in a plane and go somewhere completely different just to make a card happen? I mean, there's a lot of great stories out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to give him a shout-out. Joe from H-Town at JoeDaddy85. That was a really, really good one. I liked it. And lastly... Was your tail wagging when we were calling the fights on Sportscaster?
Yeah.
It was fun, wasn't it?
I was in a trance. Of course we liked it.
But I couldn't believe how, like, us not knowing, and look, again, to peel back the curtain, at one point we were like, should we know these results? Because we don't want to get caught looking at the chat. Hey, Joe Daddy or someone or Buffalo Blue says, and next thing you know, the result is taking place. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, let's just not know, you know? Because that way, if people wanted it, like Goz and I really had $2 $5 bets,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But either way, like that just goes to show you how much I'm fiending for. It's not like I dislike computers or video games or nothing like that. I love them, but I don't know. I still looked at it as somewhat of a competition, and with the result being a mystery, I had a blast. And it looks like we might be doing it again on Saturday.
I forgot it was a video game. I fell into that trance where there were times where I had to be
Although Garbrandt and Sun Sal.
Yeah.
We couldn't keep up with them, man.
Cody Garbrandt was Yair Rodriguez or something with a skill set. But for the most part, just calling a fight. And I guess I didn't think it over too much, but you really have to we really had to change our mindset the way we normally do things with Sportscaster and redo it. And so some of it we learned on the fly, but it was a lot of fun. And you definitely were starving for that type of information or that type of stimulus. So it was cool. It really was. And I'm seeing a lot of sports doing it now. You know, there's just basketball tournaments and stuff like that on ESPN.
Thank you again to Sportscaster, Nick and Kevin over there for allowing us to do that. Don't forget, we have two more Wednesdays to go. We committed to doing 5 MMA Junkie Radio shows, except the video. You're going to get the video broadcast over there. So it's Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. So basically in about 2 days, we will be back on Sportscaster. It's www.sportscaster.com/MMA Junkie. Caster has no E in it. Sportscaster with no E. Find us there. That'll be our weekly show. And then on Saturday, I believe, I want to confirm with the Junkie people that we can do that again. And we'll build another card. And we'll have some more fun. Because I don't want to give it away because we just did it. And I'm posting some stuff up on my Facebook. So if people haven't seen it yet, they can watch the results for the first time. But there was a couple fights where I didn't like the way they ended. I wanted to see a little bit more, some quick endings. So maybe we'll run a couple back.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were so aggressive. You know, I guess if we're calling it the first event, I guess, then technically, yeah, I guess we have our own rules, you know.
We get to play promoter and matchmaker. Mm-hmm. How many times has Dana White sat there after a fight and he goes, oh, man, we got to run this one back. And he just discards whatever plans he had before that. Well, that's what we can do. All right, folks, we're going to bounce on out of here. We got the spinning back click later and got some interviews lined up. Check out our work over at MMA Junkie, the 5-time winner of the World MMA Awards, the best website in the world at covering the sport of mixed martial arts. Also, follow us on social media. On Twitter and Instagram, I'm at MMA Junkie George. Goes is at The Goes. And the radio show is at MMA Junkie Radio. All right, we're going to bounce on out of here. Enjoy your day. Go out there and be a champion when you're allowed to. And wear your mask while being a champion. Otherwise, stay safe and stay indoors.